welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of September 30th and the week of September 6th, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a kind of double episode. We will not be on the air next week.
Right.
So we're going to give you some updates for what's going to be showing and coming out that week, too.
Yeah, because one of us will be overseas and the other one will be opening a show.
Which one will be more fun?
I think you're going to have more fun. Given the way things have been going, the chaos that we had today in our costume fittings, I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and amateur setting up an aviary in her backyard.
So it was just like, we're getting ready to record, and there's this noise, and Michael's like, what was that? I'm like, a bird? And he's like, you got a pepper? I'm like, no, it's outside. Just a bird that just happens to be outside my window.
So if you hear weird noises, it's the kids playing with the dog out in the backyard or the bird in Melissa's backyard.
It's a bird. It's not my bird.
Okay. All right.
Just a bird.
All right. What has your week in entertainment been like?
TV, TV, and more TV.
Hey.
Yeah, so catching up all a huge list of premieres I told you about last week. I watched some of them. So I watched Parenthood is back. Still excellent show. It's going to be interesting. It was a lot of setting up stuff for the season. They went and jumped ahead like close to a year.
Oh, wow.
From the end of the last season. Yeah. Just like, and they just went into it. Like, they didn't explain stuff.
Oh.
Because, like, a smaller character moved away, and it was the big season ender kind of thing. Moved away, and all of a sudden he's back, and just like he's there, and you're like, "What the hell? What is he doing there? Like, what happened? Like, where? What? Huh?" And then they, you know, explain it. People talking about it, but they do not, give you kind of what's happened in between. You just delve into this moment in time. And there's all these different changes, and you got to figure out what happened.
They did that with Battlestar Galactica, too.
Yeah, exactly the same.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, Parenthood and sci-fi, just so much. No, so anyhow, so it's still high quality. It's just going to take us a little bit to kind of settle down and see where we're at.
Okay.
But that, what else did I watch? Modern Family.
Yeah, which I'm like two seasons behind. I gave up on watching that show.
So, and a lot, it was interesting. So when marriage became legal for everyone in California, again, one of the main topics was like, oh, they didn't get married in Modern Family.
Oh.
Like you read that in like news reports and everybody I know is like talking about it because they live in California in the show. Are they going to get married? Are they going to have them get married? And so they kind of took that and ran with that.
All right.
In the season opener. Let's see what else they say. Oh, New Girl.
Oh, yeah. I haven't watched that since first season.
So, yeah. So the first episode was kind of like, what are they going to do now that a couple of the roommates have a relationship? Like, how is this going to play out? So they kind of settled that all up.
Okay.
What else? Castle's back. Did not really enjoy that episode, to be honest.
Oh, that sucks.
It's a two-parter. Well, it's a two-parter, and it's this whole big, like, is Castle going to die?
Well, and they're a couple now, right?
Yeah, they're a couple now. So I wasn't that impressed. One of my favorites, new show, The Blacklist.
Oh, yeah.
James Spader's.
Yeah, and?
I found it very interesting.
Yeah.
Lots of levels. Like, maybe this is what I was looking for, like, an Ironside or stuff. Lots of different levels. Lots of intrigue, really good acting, and it's just watching James Spader.
Yeah, juicy scenery.
Character is so much fun.
So it's not a knockoff of Silence of the Lambs, which every trailer made it look like?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But it's its own thing, too. It's not complete. Yeah, it is similar. You have this bad guy who's going to help the FBI, and it's this young profiler is the only one he'll talk to.
All right.
It is, but there's a lot more to it. It's not just a copycat. And we're going to get, and here's the thing, we're going to get different other bad guys that they're tracking like every week. It's not going to be one season long. And then we find out, we're slowly going to find out his background.
Oh, so they don't set up his backstory.
Well, they do a little bit.
Oh, all right.
And we know the basic, but we're getting more. Like, why is he interested in her? And so then we're finding out secrets in her past that she doesn't even know about, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. No, I liked it. I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to more episodes.
Good.
Big time. And again, it's just James Spader, like,
yeah,
just all growed up jerk. Yeah.
And losing his
high school
hair.
Jerk.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah, totally. But I just, like, sat there, too, and just pretended he was talking to, like, Andrew McCarthy the whole episode. Like, he was just telling Blaine off the whole episode.
You were funny.
So, that was fun. Let's see. Bones is back. Again, dealing with, like, a couple. And then they got in this whole, like, last season, like, how they're together in the couple. And then they did something interesting to kind of shake that up. Mm. You know, kind of unsure if they're going to make it.
Yeah.
Which is good. That's how you deal with the, like, boring of them being together.
Right.
Like, are they going to stay together?
Yeah.
So, let's see. Mindy Project. Totally cute first couple episodes.
Yeah.
With that. And what else? I think I've talked about the new, like, sitcoms that are out there now.
Yeah, we talked about the, at least the two, like, Goldbergs.
Yeah, so the returning stuff is kind of the same.
All right.
That's really kind of shook it up, and nothing new is, you know, totally got me. I think Blacklist might be my favorite, and just because it's fun, not because it's, like, excellent quality. Right. It's high-quality TV,
yeah.
But it's kind of fun. Huh. It just kind of takes it, and there's this big, like, JJ moments in it. Where you're like, holy crap. And it is the first episode. We'll see. There was some intense action in it.
Yeah.
We'll see if they keep that up. And again, this is like, how long can they keep this interesting and keep it going?
Right. And for those who don't understand that reference, we were big fans of Alias early on. And then it started to go downhill. And yet there was one moment at the end of, what was it, the fourth season or
whatever
something?
Whatever season. And I had decided the end of the season, I'm like, I'm not watching it next season.
Right.
I'm not. And then you have them driving, and he does the line, I'm not really Michael Vaughn, and then their car gets hit by, like,
right.
Another car. And at the end, I'm like, motherfucker, I gotta convince you this happens now. Damn you, JJ!
So that's anytime something like that happens, that's our go-to line. Did you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
That's one I have not watched yet.
All right, it's on Hulu. I watched
that. I'm still waiting for.
All right. I watched it the other night. I won't spoil anything. I will say that the reveal of Phil Coulson.
Yeah.
All right. So this is.
Which we all know. This is not a spoiler. We all know. Like.
Right. So he's back.
Okay. He's back.
And
we all know this.
Basically what they say is, you know, they faked his death to kind of form the Avengers. So that Nick Fury went, but then they throw something else in to make you believe that
good.
Phil thinks one thing, but the real truth is something else.
Okay, thank you. So, because that whole, like, oh, I faked his death, that's just stupid, and they can do better than that.
Two small roles.
It's about superheroes. You can do something crazy.
It is.
The bad scientist brought him back or something.
Right. Well, there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
Two good. Cameos in this. Ron Glass is going to play the medical head of the S.H.I.E.L.D. mobile unit, which is awesome.
Yay!
We haven't really seen him do anything since Serenity. Some Firefly. Cobie Smulders is still playing Director Hill, even though she's got her own show on CBS that she's wrapping up this year. So I'm hoping she's going to be peppered in throughout when they can do it.
Should be able to. Because shooting a sitcom is not, like, that time intensive.
Because let's be honest, you're not going to see Sam Jackson on this show.
No.
For as much as I love Sam, they can't afford to pay him to come on and do cameos. So she is going to be basically the director of, you know, operations for S.H.I.E.L.D. Good. Which is what Maria Hill is in the book anyways. It has the humor of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. There is a lot of humor. There is a lot of action. There's a girl on here who plays a cyber hacker who kind of gets lured into becoming part of the team. So the way the team develops is organic. Each one of these characters has their own backstory that they tease out a little bit, and then you're going to start seeing more. A lot of comedy. The cyber hacker bothers me only because it's this girl who's a very talented actress, I'm sure, but she's basically doing Eliza Dushku. Which I'm wondering if they wrote that role for her and she decided not to do it.
I wonder.
Because it's
or if they just obviously they write those roles well.
Yeah. And I mean, it would fit her like a glove, this particular role. I think she would be tougher than the girl, than Chloe Bennett, who's playing the role. But I mean, it basically is her.
Yeah.
And Ming-Na's character is kind of this dark, mysterious, she has this past and people refer to her in hushed tones. And we get glimpses of what she could possibly be. So J. August Richards plays the one kind of freak of the week in the premiere.
Okay.
And he does a nice job, and it ties back to Iron Man 3.
Nice.
So there's loops there, and you're going to see that, and they've made no bones about this, that this is going to be a definitive Marvel Universe show, and they're going to tap into all the different things we've already seen in the other movies, plus deep into the reaches of the known Marvel Universe from the comic books. So there's a lot to play with there, and I'm looking forward to see what they do with that. So definitely something to keep an eye on if you like that type of fantasy action.
I'm looking forward to watching it. I just didn't get around to it yet.
That's right. There's nothing pressing that, you know, I'm sure you can consume 3-4 episodes in a sitting.
Yeah.
So there's that. All right. We do not have box office numbers for you this week because we're recording early. So we will catch up with that. I mean, I'm sure you're going to have easy access to it from how many other news sources. Yeah. But the next 2 weeks, let's
do. No, you can only get good info from us. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah. Don't go anywhere else.
You don't get the commentary from anybody else but us, but
that's
you can see the numbers there. Next week, coming to the box office, so this would be Friday the 30th. No.
October already.
Yes, it is October already. What the hell?
Can you believe that?
No.
Crazy.
All right. Big movie starting to come out. We've seen it promoted forever. Alfonso Cuarón's Gravity, which is the outer space, the space station, spacewalk, starring George Clooney and Sandra Bullock, which is supposed to be incredibly claustrophobic and terrifying. We've got Runner Runner, which stars Justin Timberlake, who is kind of this college kid who beats an online poker system, only to have the guy who owns the poker site clean him out. Mm-hmm. And so he lives offshore. He's this ringleader of this massive online thing. It's played by Ben Affleck.
Yeah. So Ben Affleck is all sleazy, slimy, mobby kind of guy.
Yeah.
I like it.
So you got that. And then we've got the first – well, here's another one. Big movie. It's called Parkland. It's the events of JFK's death as told through the eyes of the staff of the Parkland Hospital in Dallas.
Okay.
On that chaotic day. Zac Efron, Tom Welling, Colin Hanks, and then a huge array of other major stars. Billy Bob Thornton. I mean, you go look at the cast list for this, and you're like, how did
it's insane, because it's those big stars, and then it stars, like, I love, like, Jackie Earle Haley.
Right.
Isn't it? And then Bitsy from Grimm.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Plays Juliet. She's in that, and yeah. Like, cool actors.
Yeah. And then we get the first Christmas movie of the season in October, of course. Paul Giamatti plays a recent prison parolee who hooks up with his old friend, played by Paul Rudd, who is running a Christmas tree farm. And it's kind of, it sounds like kind of a Gift of the Magi thing, because Paul is trying to raise enough money to buy a piano for his daughter, who is estranged from him.
Nothing about this sounds good except 4 words. Yeah. Paul Giamatti, Paul Rudd.
I know. So we'll see. Paul's usually pretty good about picking projects for himself, so I got to believe there's something in this.
It's Paul.
Paul Rudd. Paul Giamatti has some sketchy past history in terms of, like, Lady in the Water.
He did
one. The one with Frankie Muniz?
Yeah, he did that one, right?
And Amanda Bynes.
Was that the one? I don't know. There were a whole bunch at the time. Anyhow.
Yeah. His track record is a little spotty.
Yeah, we'll have to see how this one is. Yeah.
The following week is a movie I'm looking forward to seeing. It's called Escape from Tomorrow. It's an indie horror film that was shot black and white illegally at Disneyland.
Yes.
About a family who supposedly gets corrupted by the magic or the sun in the family, and there's something more insidious going on in the Disney parks.
Yeah, it looks kind of creepy.
Yeah, creepy and funny at the same time.
Yeah.
Robert Rodriguez and Danny Trejo reteam for Machete Kills. More Grindhouse mayhem.
Machete.
Machete. And I saw the trailer. I was on the treadmill. I caught the trailer, and I'm like, that's Martin Sheen from West Wing. And no, it's Charlie Sheen plays the president.
Yes.
But as he gets older, he's looking more and more like his father. So out of the corner of my eye without my glasses on.
And actually, Charlie Sheen is not credited as playing the president in this movie.
Really?
Carlos Estevez. Oh.
Because it's a Spanish film, so it might...
So it can fit in there with Antonio Banderas and Sofia Vergara and Alexa Vega.
And Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah. Come on.
And then the other indie darling film that is, seems to could make a huge impact this fall, CBGB, which is the star-studded biopic of New York City's legendary nightclub, which kind of served as ground zero for the American punk rock scene.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing that as well. So next couple weeks. Yeah.
Quite the cast in that one. Oh,
big, big time. Johnny Galecki's in it too.
Yeah. Again, it's like some bigger stuff, but then some just like really fun, like Justin Bartha I love.
Yeah.
Donald Logue is in it.
Yeah.
Ellen Rickman, Rupert. It's like crazy all over the place cast.
Yeah. Coming to DVD and Blu-ray over the next 2 weeks, we've got Wizard of Oz in 3D on Blu-ray to celebrate the 75th anniversary of that film. Little Mermaid is coming to Blu-ray. Nothing, you know, in the way of additional bonus features than we have seen before, but you do get the high-definition Blu-ray for the film that really redefined and kind of saved Disney feature animation. Because before that, we had, like, Black Cauldron. And the company was disbanding all of its animation. And here, you know, you had a bunch of guys who came back. And basically, from the most unlikely people, Howard Ashman and Alan Menken, who were off-Broadway composers, you know, they created Little Shop of Horrors for off-Broadway. And Disney welcomed them in. And they basically redefined the animated musical, which set the tone for all of the animation that came after it.
Yeah.
And we can thank them for bringing back the Disney princesses.
Oh, thanks so much.
But Howard Ashman has since passed away, and I had the great pleasure of interviewing Jodie Benson several years ago, and she basically made me cry to talking about Howard and how much this was his film, and without it, you know, without him, this never would have been the film that it was. So I'm looking for, you'll see my review on that this coming week. I'm working on that. The comedy, the apocalyptic comedy, This Is the End, with Seth Rogen and Jay Buccarell and James Franco and Craig Robinson, which is basically 40 minutes of a really funny movie and then another 40 minutes of Cheech and Chong, 21st century pot smoking, everything is going to hell in a handbasket.
Excellent.
Yeah. The Croods.
I like that one better.
You would actually find this. I think you would really enjoy this.
Yeah.
The Croods, which was a surprise animated hit, especially with Nick Cage leading the voice cast on this. I took my nieces and nephews to see it, and I laughed out loud. It was very, very funny.
I remember that you liked it. I was a little surprised it was that good.
Yep. And then, are you ready? Settle in for TV on DVD coming to this week.
Yes.
Hell's Kitchen, Season 10. How I Met Your Mother, Season 8. Poirot, Hercule Poirot, Series 7 and 8, which I think this has got to be the third or fourth time that they've released these things in different combinations.
Yeah, they're all different. Yeah. Sets.
Dick Van Dyke's Diagnosis Murder, Season 5. Glee, Season 4. The Mod Squad, Season 4. Happy Endings, Season 3, which has been canceled by ABC, but you'll get to see the last of it. Downton Abbey has Seasons 1, 2, and 3 in a new gift set, and they seem to do this every time a new season is put together. They'll release a
film. Yeah, because people get into it, I think, every time.
Yeah.
You know, there's a new season. We get new fans, too.
Right. New Girl, Season 2. Highway to Heaven, Season 2.
Ooh.
Yeah. Michael Landon. Beauty and the Beast, Season 1, which Mac is reviewing for us. And no, it's not the Linda Hamilton, Ron Perlman one. It's the Kristen Crook, and I forget the guy who's playing it. But it's the CW's version of Beauty and the Beast. Jack Irish, series one and two, which is the Guy Pearce series.
Ooh.
He's doing British crime drama now.
Okay.
MTV's Awkward, seasons one and two. I don't watch MTV anymore. And then we've got Doctor Who Revisited for Doctors 5, 6, 7, and 8.
All right.
The following week on DVD and Blu-ray, Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing, which you really enjoyed.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. We've got The Hangover Part 3, After Earth, which is Will and Jaden Smith, which is painfully bad. Don't waste your money on this, please. And then they won't make any more movies like this. The horror movie of this past summer was The Purge, which was another home invasion type thing, right? Wasn't Ethan Hawke was in this?
They're all confused in my mind.
Yeah. And then The Curse of Chucky, which is another direct-to-DVD sequel.
Okay, so that one I know.
The Doll That Wouldn't Die. And then here's even more DVD and Blu-ray for you, TV on DVD. Bones, Season 8. Psych, Season 7. Felicia Day's The Guild, Season 6. Robot Chicken, Season 6. 90210, The Final Season. Thank God. They used to put huge billboards up on the apartment building across Washington Street from mine. So I'd have to look at What's-Her-Face from that, who was headlining that show, and I can't remember her name, and she was dating Dominic Purcell. Anyways, obnoxious billboards that I used to have to see all the time. White Collar Season 4, The $6 Million Man Season 4,
nice.
The Middle Season 3, American Horror Story Asylum, which is their second season, and I think this year it's called The Coven.
Yeah.
It's starting soon. Everybody's all hyped up about this thing on Facebook.
Well, it's all, like, voodoo.
Oh.
And very cool New York cast.
All right. Yeah. Although Jessica Lange has a part in each one of these. Plays a different character in every one.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated Season 1.
Because we now know from the Emmys, American Horror Story is technically a miniseries.
Is it?
That's what it was up for in the Emmys.
Oh, that's how they pitched it.
Each one's completely separate.
Oh.
It's not season two.
It's just a different...
Like, this isn't season three. It's American Horror Story Coven.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
All right. And then one of Tom Baker's more infamous story arcs on Doctor Who, Terror of the Zygons, which has one of the most unique character designs for an alien I've ever seen. It's like a giant... Imagine Jim Carrey's Grinch, except he's in lizard form with little suction cups all over his entire body.
I actually can't imagine that. Sorry.
And they were shapeshifters, so they can turn into anything they wanted. So bizarre. All right, now that I'm boring you with all that stuff, Redbox this week, Iron Man 3, Marvel's The Avengers they're bringing back, so if you didn't see it and want to get caught up, it's there. Great Gatsby from Baz Luhrmann, and Jason Statham in Redemption. Quickly over at Netflix, new this week, Room 237, which the boys were talking about on Friday Filibuster, is basically a series of conspiracy theories surrounding Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't know there were conspiracy theories, but it's enough to fill an entire documentary film, apparently.
First of all, there are conspiracy theories about everything that has ever happened in the history. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. But.
All righty. Steven Soderbergh's Side Effects. Stephen King's sci-fi series Haven is on Netflix, the first season. And then Giorgio Moroder presents the remastering of Fritz Lang's sci-fi masterpiece, silent film Metropolis. So that's on Netflix this week, just in time for Halloween season, which is... At the time, it was a terrifying film. A look at the future. At Hulu, I don't even know why we're still doing Hulu anymore, because it's just bizarre stuff. 1984
Voltron. Why, huh?
The 1984 Voltron movie, Fleet of Doom, for you anime purists. Imaginary Witness, which is a documentary exploring Hollywood's attitudes towards the Holocaust, with interviews of people like Steven Spielberg. King Kelly, which is a journey through the YouTube generation. and the Hollywood, The Hollywood Complex, which is a humorous look at TV's pilot season through the eyes of child actors whose families pick up everything they own and move to Los Angeles for 3 months to try and get their kids on television. So there you have it.
Okay.
If you're taking notes, you're going to have to go back and listen to it again. If you were, good for you, because Melissa's going to move on to television.
All right. Which, this list is not like last week's.
Oh.
Thank goodness. But we still have some new ones starting back up. Like Monday night, CBS, We Are Men begins. And then CW actually has a special Monday. It's the iHeartRadio Music Festival.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're running that. Okay, and then Wednesday night, back to new shows. ABC finally has Super Fun Night, which is the Rebel Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then Ironside, after all this talking about it, those of you that didn't watch a preview can catch it Wednesday on NBC. Mm. Thursday, Scandal's back on ABC. The Millers, which is Will Arnett's new show.
Yes.
That is on CBS. And then Welcome to the Family and Sean Saves the World. That's on NBC Thursday.
Nice.
CW Vampire Diaries is back and The Originals premieres. And then, so next week, October 7th, Monday, Heart of Dixie and Beauty and the Beast are back on CW.
I didn't even know Heart of Dixie was still on.
Yeah. All right, Tuesday the 8th, The Biggest Loser returns to NBC, and Supernatural returns to CW. Wednesday the 9th, Arrow and the Tomorrow People on CW, and then American Horror Story is back on FX.
Tomorrow People is a remake of an old British series.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, yep. So you guys can check that out. I don't watch the CW. I'm way too old. Youngins listening, go ahead and check that out. Let me know how it is. All right. And then one of the most ridiculous shows on this season, in my opinion, Thursday the 10th, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer for this.
So, yeah. So it's spinoff on Once Upon a Time, but it's all about Alice in Wonderland. So, all right. And then Sunday the 13th, Walking Dead returns to AMC. This week in music, last week we had all the big stuff. Right? We had Cher and Elton John and all that. This week we got, like, pretty much nothing. Dwight Yoakam, 21st Century Hits, best of 2000 to 2012, if you're a country fan. And then best ofs, there's a number ones by Mariah Carey, but it's a 24-karat gold CD.
Oh, my God.
What about that? I didn't even know they did this. It's, like, gold-plated. It's supposed to kind of sound better, but it's also, like, a gold CD, so it's kind of expensive.
Who buys CDs anymore? Everybody just downloads music.
That's true. Good point. All right. Okay, but next week we got some stuff. The week of the 8th, so Miley Cyrus Bangerz finally is coming out. And for all of us oldies, it's B-A-N-G-E-R-Z.
Uh-huh.
For, like, your grandkid. You know how to spell it now.
Okay.
And then Panic at the Disco.
Oh, yeah.
Too Weird to Live, Too Rare to Die. Huh. And then Tony Bennett, Live at the Sahara, Las Vegas, 1964. It was like his first big headlining show. And this has been available in some box sets, but now the CD is available on its own.
Okay.
A couple soundtracks, Lee Daniels, The Butler. And this is actual songs, not just score.
Mm.
Stuff. And then the new movie, Romeo and Juliet. That score is out.
Yes, that's the one with Haley Steinfeld.
Yep, that's it. That is coming out on CD. And then still Christmas stuff. I'm sure I'll be mentioning this periodically until the end of December. But Gretchen Wilson.
Oh.
A CD called Christmas is in My Heart. And then there's a whole series of CDs. They're called the Classic Christmas Album Barbra Streisand or the Classic Christmas Album Neil Diamond. So they're doing it, Andy Williams, and then a whole bunch of country artists throughout the years.
Okay.
So they collected their Christmas songs and are releasing them, each with their own album. And it's like $7 on Amazon. So if you need some more Christmas music. Let's see. Books this week. James Patterson.
Oh, boy.
And Michael Ledwidge. Gone, which is number six in the Michael Bennett series. And then Jeffrey Deaver has a new one called The October List. Elizabeth Gilbert, who did the Eat, Love, Pray. What are we doing? Eat, Love, Pray? Is that what we're doing? Whatever it was.
Eat, Pray, Love.
Called The Signature of All Things.
Yeah.
And then Tony Hillerman's a really famous author. He's one of my dad's favorite. He wrote Native American stories.
Yeah.
His daughter, who's actually a reporter, so she's a writer, but very different writing, is actually carrying on his books. So she has one called Spider Woman's Daughter, which sounds more like supernaturally than
yeah.
Native American. But anyhow, so yeah, Ann Hillerman is carrying on her father's legacy.
Okay.
I know some of our writers are going to appreciate this one. Paddle Your Own Canoe, One Man's Fundamentals for Delicious Living by Nick Offerman.
Oh.
So, one from him. And then Robin Quivers, Howard Stern's sidekick.
Yes.
She actually has like a more cook foodie book. The Vegetation of Robin, How Real Food Saved My Life.
Huh.
So, yeah, how she got healthy.
Yeah.
Being healthy. All right. The week of October 7th. The Rejected Stone, Al Sharpton and the Path to American Leadership by Al Sharpton.
He looks completely different. He's lost like 50 or 60 pounds.
That's quite so crazy. And then we have a book called My Story. It's by Elizabeth Smart, along with Stuart. Elizabeth Smart was, if you remember, was kidnapped.
Yep.
A few, like 10 years ago it's been. But anyhow, so her account of her life and what happened to her. Fans of The Walking Dead, there's a new Walking Dead novel, Walking Dead, The Fall of the Governor by Robert Kirkman. And then those of you who watch Bar Rescue on Spike, which I have mentioned before.
Yeah.
John Taffer, the host of that, now has a book.
Oh.
Raise the Bar, an action-based method for maximum customer relations.
All righty.
And then another cookbook next week, Jessica Seinfeld. Jerry's wife has another one called The Can't Cookbook, Recipes for the Absolutely Terrified. So she's released, I think, at least a couple cookbooks. So another one from her. All right, theater news. The Glass Menagerie just opened on Broadway.
Yeah.
Starring Cherry Jones. So Fans of 24. And Zachary Quinto.
Oh, I forgot about this.
The heroes and Star Trek fans will want to see him in the lead of this.
That's right.
So it's at the Booth Theater.
Okay.
In New York, and just opened. And won't be running for a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, movie and TV fans. Yeah. More big stars.
Mm-hmm. All right. News this week. Remember how we were talking about Army Wives and who watches it?
Yeah.
Well, apparently nobody, because Lifetime has just canceled the series after season 7.
Oops.
But
but season 7.
I know, right?
That's quite respectable.
Yeah. All right. So fill me in, unless I'm jumping the gun on your Kardashians news.
Oh, go ahead.
About Kanye West and Jimmy Kimmel.
So we can just combine it, too.
All right. Yeah, let's just combine it.
So Kanye West did this insane interview on, like, BBC One. Where he just babbled on, like, craziness, right? About all different things.
Yeah.
So Jimmy Kimmel found part of it, and it was, like, ridiculously funny. So he reenacted it with two, like, kids.
Oh, no.
To make it, like, funny.
All
and
right.
It really wasn't anything bad. They didn't, like, completely even make fun of Kanye.
But we know how sensitive.
They just, like, had a kid reading his exact words.
Yeah.
And then another kid, like, drinking a milkshake, being, like, the interviewer. It was kind of cute.
Okay.
Kanye flipped the fuck out.
Oh, jeez.
Went to Twitter. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Just,
The boy cannot take any criticism or, you know,
that's what I'm saying. It wasn't even, like, Jimmy wasn't even, like, Kanye West is an idiot. Kanye West. They had, like, this one section of the interview. They just had kids, like, reenact it.
Right.
It was cute.
Right.
No, he flipped out.
So he took to Twitter as he has wanted to do and then started just going off, right?
Yeah, went off.
Yeah.
Like, Okay, and naughty words, so you guys can prepare yourself for that. Right. Jimmy Kimmel, put yourself in my shoes. Oh, no, that means you would have gotten too much good pussy in your life. And then, like, it just went. And, like, he's like, your face looks crazy. Like, it just went off on it. And then it's like, Sarah Silverman's funnier than you.
Oh, my God.
And, like, whatever. And then he started doing, like, memes. Like, he did the, like, he took a picture of Jimmy Kimmel and put, like, no good pussy on it. And, like, but just was go, it just went on and on, like, ridiculous about it. So, Jimmy Kimmel says, yeah, his response was, he kind of was reading, because this was happening, like, while he was recording.
Oh, no.
And so Kanye called him, too, and went off on him. This was the big thing. He didn't just go off on Twitter. He called Jimmy Kimmel and went off on him. So Jimmy Kimmel told the audience what happened. It was like reading some of these tweets and whatnot. But as he says, I'm finally in a rap war.
That means like Suge Knight's going to come and like open fire on your car or something.
Oh my gosh.
Kanye is basically an 8-year-old with social awkwardness, because the man cannot take any sort of criticism, any sort of... I don't understand how his people, the people who manage him, allow him to go off the farm so often.
That's exactly it. No one manages Kanye. Because he can do everything. He is perfect. He is a designer and a recording artist and rapper, and he does everything better than anyone else. Do you think he's going to listen to anyone? He is flat out said he is better than any other human being on this planet.
I don't know how anybody can even possibly work with him, because the man is a walking nightmare. Oh, all right. Well, I didn't mean to steal your thunder on that one. Bryce Dallas.
Those are the crazies in the Kardashian family I can talk about. Don't worry about it.
All right. Bryce Dallas Howard, after popping out her latest child, is being courted as the lead for Universal's Jurassic World, which will be interesting to see, because my hope is that they bring Sam Neill back, but they haven't talked about the script and what role she'd be playing and stuff like that. So, Sony is, again, the Hollywood shuffle continues. Sony is moving one of its award season contenders out of this award season. So the film is called Foxcatcher, which chronicles the relationship between the eccentric DuPont Chemical heir, John DuPont, played by Steve Carell, and Olympic wrestling brothers Mark and Dave Schultz, played by Channing Tatum and Mark Ruffalo.
Nice.
But this resulted in a murder, this relationship.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and I don't remember this story at all. I think it's a 70s thing. Apparently, director Bennett Miller needs more time to complete the film, which was supposed to and was announced to be the headliner at AFI's November Film Fest in Los Angeles.
Yeah, this is big. They're, I mean, basically a month to get a new film to headline.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And this comes on the heels of a similar move made by Sony last week, which also delayed the release of the Grace Kelly biopic called Grace of Monaco until mid-next year. So I don't know what's going on over at Sony, but I guess they're trying to cover their bases there. As union leaders and working actors continue to rejoice over the merger between the Screen Actors Guild and the Association for Federated TV and Radio Artists, a group of 15 A-list actors headed by Ed Asner have filed a class action lawsuit against SAG-AFTRA for failing to properly report and distribute royalties and residuals of more than $130 million from foreign markets. So apparently, because Hollywood does such a good job of selling stuff overseas, there's not a lot of reporting being done on this in terms of who it's going to and how much they're getting. So this group of actors are calling in people like George Clooney to, you know, to speak on their behalf to say that this is a real problem and the union needs to get their ducks in a row or they're going to be in some serious trouble. And this has always been a thing. You think, oh, they're getting big residual checks. Well, sometimes it's just pennies on the dollar, you know?
It's literally, I know people who literally it costs more to have the check mailed than what the check is worth.
Right. So don't think that you're getting rich because you did a TV show in the 70s. It's now being shown in Germany or Japan because there's nothing there. We're already getting TV renewals for next season, although, you know, the seasons are not quite what they used to be. So Bob's Burgers and Boardwalk Empire have both been renewed for a fifth season by Fox and HBO, respectively. ABC has renewed Mistresses for a second season, so that makes...
Oh, that show is great.
Susan Lucci, right?
No.
Oh, what am I thinking of?
Brooklyn Milano.
Oh. Okay.
And, oh, I totally lost her name from Lost, the Asian wife.
Oh, the Korean Jin's wife?
Yes.
Why am I,
I don't know. We both.
Yes, we're completely losing it. I know who you're talking about, though.
Yeah, she's in that, too. It's a horrible show.
I mean, you know what? It's Maids. Maids is the one that Susan Lucci's on.
Okay.
That was kind of a summer. Summer Devious Maids. That's, yeah.
Yeah. It's just all, seeing all the women running around, you know, with secrets and sleeping with people.
Yes. Big surprise.
Too many shows like that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you were speaking of friends that you know who get small checks. Nickelodeon is ordering up two new animated series, Pig Boat Banana Cricket, which explores the lives of four roommates. Played
so
by-
did you just have a stroke?
Four roommates. It's like
words.
It's like
words.
I think it was like Aqua Teen Hunger Force was the one that was on Adult Swim, which was a, like a meatball, an order of French fries, a milkshake, and so this is kind of the same thing. It's a brain, a wise guy, a fool, and an artist who play roommates.
Okay. Another one's called
Pig Goat Banana Cricket.
Okay.
The next one's called Bad Seeds, which follows the life of a bird who befriends two of the wildest creatures in the forest.
Okay.
And then there's four live-action shows. One's called Twang, about a family that moves from Hollywood to Tennessee. Another one's called Nicky, Ricky, Dicky, and Don, about a family with 13-year-old quadruplets.
Okay.
Smart Aleck is about teen geniuses and an as yet unnamed series about a minority cheerleader.
Minority cheerleader.
I guess it's okay, a diversity then. Thing. And Nina can't pitch her things.
And that's exactly it. It's nothing to do with actually smart or funny or anything.
Right.
It's like, we need something for like the African American and Latina girls.
Right.
Make something about one of them.
Right. And actually her show did I from the episodes that I saw, the one that was, I forget whose daughter it was that was headlining the show. I want to say that was like Master P or somebody like that. Nina's show. It was on Nickelodeon. It was good. I mean, it was funny in that sort of teen way, but it only lasted a season.
Yeah.
So, and yet shows like
How to Braces and Glasses.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was Master P's daughter.
Yeah.
So.
So, you know, 24 hours of network television has to be filled, and they come up with Pig, Goat, Banana Cricket.
There you go.
As
and
if the world
paid a boatload of money to do it.
Of course. As if the world needs more zombies, A&E is developing an Americanized version of French TV's Les Revenants. It's called The Returned. It's a tale of a small town that bears witness to the return of several long-dead inhabitants who are blissfully unaware that they were dead and are now incapable of dealing with the gruesome transformations that they are undergoing. So, AMC has The Walking Dead, and A&E now has The Returned.
All right, then.
All right. And one more quick thing. Warner Brothers and Fox have reached an agreement for developing DC Comics series Gotham City Origins, which explores crime in what I assume to be a pre-Batman Gotham, because I didn't get into this, but it's a young, you know, Lieutenant James Gordon who is becoming the commissioner of Gotham City, and all of the criminals who spawn out of, you know, the Batman mythos. So you probably will never see Batman on this series, but you get to see the after effects of what, you know, the introduction of Batman does to the crime in Gotham City.
And
they tried to do this with Birds of Prey, which was another kind of tertiary Batman thing that had Oracle, who is Batgirl, who is paralyzed now and couldn't be Batgirl anymore. In the
Okay, this is too confusing.
Okay, never mind. Anyways, it's showing once again that DC is trying to do what Marvel does better than they do, and it's probably going to end in a very horrible way.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done.
Okay. Well, yeah, well, we did Kanye. That was the big thing.
Yeah.
That he's still crazy and still getting in trouble.
Right.
For, you know, beating up paparazzi, too.
Yeah.
And Lamar's, same thing. When we come back after 2 weeks,
yeah.
One of two things can happen. Either he's going to be in rehab and then patching things up with Chloe, or he's going to be, well, jail or dead.
Yeah.
Because he is just still, according to reports, he is just riding off the rails.
Mm.
Now, the day we're recording this, the 28th, is actually their anniversary.
Oh.
And supposedly he's going to do some big, huge thing. He had been staying out, like, by Palm Springs with, like, a couple of women, you know, doing crack.
Oh,
he's back in L.A., supposedly, to try to talk to Chloe. But on their anniversary, she went on, like, her Twitter.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, you know, Chloe Kardashian Odom.
Yeah.
It says Chloe now. She changed it today on their anniversary. She took off.
There you go. She's becoming Cher.
So, well, no. She's.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyhow, yeah, it will be interesting to see in 2 weeks where this is, because he actually got a delay in his DUI court date.
Okay.
He found somebody to represent him.
Yeah.
So, which is kind of big. He found a lawyer willing to...
One of Lindsay Lohan's old lawyers, perhaps?
No, but no, they cost way too much.
Well, she never paid him, so...
Yeah, well, she ended up...
Yeah.
Paying them to get off the last time. So
well, she's been quiet, and Amanda Bynes have been quiet.
Yeah, because Amanda's going to be locked up for it. That's the other thing we haven't talked about that much. It's she may be in there for a good year.
Is it schizophrenia? Is it that what they?
That's what it sounds like. It is. Yeah. But yeah, that's why I haven't heard from Amanda Bynes, because she is in a psychiatric unit and she is going to be there for months.
And this is a very real thing. There's somebody that I work with at one of the medical schools who's has a family member that the same thing happened to. Is, you know, semi-normal, you know, sibling who at, you know, late 20s went off the rails and seriously threatened to injure members of the family.
Yeah.
For no apparent reason whatsoever.
Yeah. It's sad. So, yeah. How funny is this, talking about, like, sweet little Lamar Odom, like, totally wrecking his life.
Right.
And we're talking about how Lindsay and Amanda are getting their crap together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who would have thunk that a few months ago?
Oh, well. Stranger things have happened.
Yep. And this week our contest is actually going to be New Girl.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right.
Last season of that. And then the week after the 7th is a kids DVD. It's called Drawing with Mark, and it's about, you know, drawing.
All right.
Learning how to.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. All sounds good. Thank you guys for listening to this bloated episode to keep you occupied over the next couple weeks while we are away. Thank you again, as always, for reading our reviews at DVDverdict.com. And until 2 weeks from now, Melissa Ann, do you have any parting words for us?
Step through to the other side, because there's so much more. Go ahead and say goodbye.